You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, 88.1 in Ithaca and 91.9 in Watkins Glen, and this is the Made of Clay Report. And our guest on this hour is Nia Michelle Nunn.
Yes.
And Nia is the proper pronunciation, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. Thank you for checking.
Good. So Nia, the way we start this show is with a big question, and you take it where you want to. Who are you? What do we need to know about you to start this conversation? And you're local, so people know you.
Yeah.
But not everybody knows you.
No, that's right. Oh, what a beautiful question. Just because it requires you to think and really process. And immediately, I'm a mother. I am a mother of three beautiful boys who are 13, 10, and 7 years old. I am a daughter of two pretty incredible parents who are active in the community. They went to Ithaca College in their youth and stayed in Ithaca. They said they weren't going to stay and be townies, but lo and behold, they stayed here and raised my brothers and I here. I am a local, born and raised here in Ithaca, New York. But I went to Clark Atlanta University, Atlanta, Georgia, and Michigan State, so for the undergrad degree in early childhood education and my doctorate in school psychology. So I am an educator. Mm-hmm. I'm a scholar. I love research, and I'm a performer, and I consider myself very active, so an activist. I'm a Black feminist. That's a really important element of my identity that's been evolving over the years. So I'm a professor at Ithaca College. I prepare teachers. So I'm an educator who's very passionate about preparing educators. I especially here in Ithaca, being born and raised here, I think I have a very special relationship with the Ithaca College community because I was an itty-bitty person running around the campus. I tease my students all the time. I'm like, I remember you when I was in like first grade. You used to come to our after school program in math, and they look at me like I'm nuts. But my whole purpose is to emphasize the importance of one, doing well on campus, but getting off campus. Mm-hmm. And getting into the community. And when you are a student who establishes a relationship with the Ithaca community, like an initiative or what have you, then it helps you to feel in my experience with students a greater sense of purpose on campus,
right.
With all of my students, but particularly the students of color and especially the Black women on campus. So all of my students get off campus and they're in schools and after school programs, but this particular group of young women I have integrated in the community in a special way. So I'm moving constantly. I'm a dancer.
Yeah.
I'm there's a long list of things that are important elements of who I am.
Sure, and
thanks
and,
for asking.
And we're going to probably see them in much greater detail along the way. But you brought music with you too.
I did.
So we're going to open with Common.
Yes, please.
Black America Again.
Yes.
Do you want to say anything about it?
Sure.
Do you want to listen to it?
We can listen to it. But I'll first say that it's featuring Stevie Wonder, who's a very special person in my life. I actually met Stevie Wonder when I was 5 years old, and he passed me a purple shirt with his picture on it, and I still have it. So special relationship there. I think it's a very powerful song. Listen carefully to the lyrics. I am a very active member of the Black Lives Matter Ithaca organization, and even prior to this introduction of the concept of Black Lives Matter, this conversation has always been very critical to my life, my work, and my purpose. So,
yes.
Yeah, let's listen.
Here we go again. Trayvon will never get to be an older man. Black children, they childhood stole from them, robbed of our names and our language. Stole again. Who stole the soul from black folk? Same man that stole the lamp for cheap black smoke and made the whip crackle on our back slow. Made us go through the black door and raffle black bodies on the slave blocks. Now we slaves to the blocks, on them we spray shots. Leaving our own to lay in a box. Black mother's stomach stay in a knot. We kill each other, it's part of the plot. I wish the hating would stop. War! And
a battle with us. I know that black lives matter and they matter to us. These are the things we gotta discuss. The new plantation, mass incarceration. Instead of educate, they rather convict the kids. As dirty as the water in Flint, the system is. Is it a felony or a misdemeanor? Maria Sharapova making more than Serena. It took Viola Davis to say this. The roads are the help and the gangsters is really all they gave us. We need Avas, Ta-Nehisi's and Cory Booker's. The salt of the earth to get us off of sugar and greasy foods. I don't believe the news or radio stereotypes, we refuse. Brainwashed in the cycle to spin. We write our own story, black America again.
You know, one way of solving a lot of problems that we've got is letting a person feel that damn part. And a man can't get himself together until he know who he is and be proud of what and who he is and wait and wait and where he come from.
Hot damn black America again. Think of Sandra Bland as I'm staring in the wind. The color of my skin, they comparing it to sin. The darker it gets, the less fairer it has been. The hate made, I inherited from them. But I ain't gonna point the finger. We got anointed singers like Nina, Marvin, Billy, Stevie. Need to hear them songs. Sometimes to believe me, who freed me? Licking a Cadillac, drinking a battle rap. So is it God's speed that we travel at? Endangered in our own habitat. Them guns and dope, man, y'all can have it back. As a matter of fact, we them lab rats. You built the project for, now you want your hood back. I guess if you could rap, you would express it too. That PTSD, we need professionals. You know repression, dude. It make the pipes bust from schools to prison, y'all. They tryna pipe us to your political parties. Invite us instead of making voting laws to spite us. You know we from a family of fighters. Fought in your wars and our wars. You put a nigga in Star Wars. Maybe you need to. And then, maybe then we'll believe you. See black people in the future. We wasn't shipped here to rob and shoot ya. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Our men and women are created equal, including black Americans.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. This is the Made of Clay Report, and our guest on this hour is Nia Michelle Nunn.
Yes.
So Nia, what about looking back on your life, what are some of the things that you've experienced that really helped to kind of shape the balance, the concerns, the way you engage the world now?
Sure. Oh, I as I mentioned, I was born and raised in Ithaca. Mm-hmm. You know, parents from the institution after Ithaca College. My mother went to Cornell and my father was at Elmira, so I was itty bitty when you know, they were studying, and I remember that, you know. And I tell my students this all the time, that when Ithaca College students or Cornell students were in our spaces as children, I remember that. I remember thinking that they were learning differently than we were. So for a student to come in with a textbook that had highlights and underlining and things like that, mm-hmm. it was like, we had just learned not to write in books, right?
Those books, yes.
And just learning, like, wow, thinking, wow, there's a different kind of learning and thinking. Words are circled. Words are underlined. So, I mean, I just say that in terms of the love for learning that I think started early for me.
Right, but seeing the world from multiple points of
absolutely.
View, one that you could look in but
sure.
couldn't be part
sure.
of yet.
And what was also critical in that experience, and I think my parents, you know, did this on purpose, was ensuring that I had exposure to black women, black female students, and I have so many community mothers here mm-hmm. in Ithaca that have been central to my life, friends of my mother, or just some elders, you know, Lucy Brown, Jackie Melton Scott, you know, they were born and raised in Ithaca, and they've been a part of my life, my whole life. I ran into Lucy Brown at the coffee shop the other day, and, you know, just those connections are really, really critical and central for me. So I grew up going to, let's see, one of the central experiences was Girl Scouts at Southside Community Center. So Southside, for folks who don't know, has this history that's really centered around meeting the needs and acknowledging the experiences of black folks in this community. And that mission still lives. I currently serve as a board member. And another space, kind of like up on the hill, are my my early years were there. So Girl Scouts, we were predominantly Black Girl Scouts. It was led by our mothers. And just some of those lessons, some of those early experiences, that girl empowerment was very, very central. So today I lead alongside a number of college students and close friends of mine, educator friends and artists of mine, like Nydia Blass. She's actually the great grandniece of Beverly J. Martin. And so we grew up here together, and we take a lot of time and pride in ensuring that young girls and women of color, but particularly Black girls, that they see themselves in a positive light, and that there are opportunities to support their critical analysis of their experiences in Ithaca and in the world. So that's where I put a lot of my energy. And it's central to, you know, when you're raising three Black boys too, I need them to be little Black feminists too. So some of the resources, the youth programming, and those relationships were central. Saturday Math Academy. I grew up at CHEAC as well. I grew up in Central Elementary School, which the name which changed my fifth grade year to Beverly J. Martin. Right. Then off to do it in the high school. So yeah, just being active. Being present when my parents were at meetings. I just remember meetings and trying to get creative as a little person, but you can't help but to sort of engage in or digest some of that adult processing.
Right.
And so I grew up with them being very active, and they still are.
And what impresses me of your story is that as a child, you could go anywhere in this community, and you had kind of key people.
That's right.
But the main thing was a sense of absolute, you could go there.
Yes. And constant sort of affirmation that that's the case, right? So I was about 3 years old, three, maybe four, and in pre-K, and there was a little white girl who asked me if I could scrub off my skin color, right? And I say it like I remember it, but it's probably just hearing the story so many times. And so I remember like taking a bath and then asking my parents about it, like, why would I want to do that, you know? And I just remember the early lesson that I, you know, and my parents' response was to plaster my room with some of the most beautiful, amazing, and smart Black women to make sure that I knew who I am and where I come from. So there's a way in which that sense of love for Black girlhood was reinforced, and I'm so grateful for it, because despite my upbringing and native status of Ithaca, I, on a pretty daily basis, experience different forms of what I would consider both micro and macro aggressions, and interactions that almost, you know, question a sense of belonging, right? Like I tell my students all the time, like, I know I'm Black every day, okay? That's a beautiful, exciting element of who I am, but I'm also reminded that I'm Black each day, walking into spaces throughout Ithaca that I just, if I was in that space, I'd want to communicate with somebody like, wait a minute, I grew up here. I was born and raised here. This space belongs to me too. And so it's not always easy to explain what those interactions are like. Sometimes they can be subtle, sometimes extremely overt. So I do a lot of processing this with students, with all of my students, but particularly in preparing teachers to create welcoming and amazing spaces.
Right. And I've got a couple of questions come to mind. One is kind of, has it gotten worse in terms of
like in the past couple of weeks?
I was thinking more just like over the past 30 years.
Yeah,
because I mean, when you talk about being at Southside, being at GIAC, and I was listening to people talking about, well, the kids don't want to go to GIAC. It's on the north side, or it's too close. I mean, it's too far away. We're not leaving the blocks that we know.
Mm.
You know, and so that narrowing down of the scope of the world you can inhabit, that's just incredibly painful to hear.
Mm. And it's just,
and I don't know how common that is, or whether that's just an isolated example.
Sure. I think it's highlighting those key spaces. My central purpose is acknowledging spaces of affirmation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where GIAC says, GIAC is a place to be me, right? Where Southside's going to reinforce the beauty of Afrocentrism,
right,
and an Afrocentric philosophy that really welcomes and engages all people, right,
right,
as the foundation. And so, I think of them as... this is a safe spaces, but also just spaces of enrichment, right? Because you oftentimes you hear people talk about, like, you know, disenfranchisement or disadvantage. And when I think about some of these key spaces where I grew up, I can only think about the advantages of my experiences, or my children being at Beverly J. Martin when we watch the World Cup, and they can, every country that is presented, they name a kid at school.
Right.
And so it's beginning to support or encourage people with rewriting scripts of some of the perceptions of various locations in Ithaca.
And your absolute enthusiasm about an affirming experience,
yes,
and takes what would be maybe just a safe enough place and makes it a joyful place. Because by approaching it with that kind of abundant affirmation, it takes whatever might not work and make it positive.
Mm-hmm.
And makes it positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
powerful.
Mm-hmm.
How did you learn that? How did you learn, or what about you as a person has cultivated that skill?
Ooh, goodness, that's a great question. I tend to I do a lot of processing out loud. I'm fortunate or privileged enough to have had experiences where people would ask. I remember young, since I was little, my father would say, "Well, what do you think?"
Yeah.
Or how do you feel?
Yeah.
Or she's got something to say.
Yeah.
Right. So mm-hmm. I was always encouraged to think critically, to share. And encouraged to love learning, because there's so much I don't know. There's so much that we don't know.
Right.
And I think, so the kids and people in the community call me Dr. Nia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I run a performing arts camp with a group of incredible leaders called CUMAP, Community Unity Music Education Program. So it's a multicultural performing arts program and human rights education. So we engage some of the littlest people in pretty intense conversations and realities. Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what does that mean? Why is that a conversation? Or the ways in which we celebrated marriage equality a summer ago. Really, this summer we spent significant time talking about gender identity, cisgender identity,
mm-hmm.
and Islamophobia. So for me, contributes to growing up, going into grown-up spaces with my parents as a child, that every time there's something painful or intense on the news or in our lives, I always think, what would that sound like? What would it look like? What would it feel like to create a pre-K curriculum around that conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Around that lesson, around that dynamic. And I find it really, really relevant here in Ithaca, across the country, but the places that I've been, especially here in Ithaca, as it relates to racism and teaching sort of race 101, but especially engaging white folks in developing racial consciousness,
mm-hmm.
that I find that, you know, there are grown-ups that are, they're in pre-K. So many students are still learning, still adjusting, still trying to experience some challenges with being critical of their racial identity.
Right,
that it's a skill that's learned.
and I'm going back to the question that the girl asked you, mm-hmm. that can be taken as an extremely racist comment.
Sure, absolutely.
Or it can be taken as complete ignorance on the part of a child
absolutely.
Who's never touched or felt and can't imagine having a skin the color mm-hmm. that's different than hers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's so hard to know.
Sure. Yeah. And it's central around, because most of my students are white. Most of my students that I am preparing to be teachers are white.
Right.
And as much as I am an advocate for more black teachers, more teachers of color, the reality is 90% of our teachers are in fact white, and I want them to be amazing teachers.
Right.
And I want them for any and every child that comes into their space. And so as part of that, what I've learned in the connection to this interaction with this little girl is that a central element of my teaching is really like dismantling normality,
yeah.
you know, their perceptions yeah. of normality, you know, these are students that are just, you know, discovering white students, discovering whiteness
yeah.
and the yep. meaning or history yep. of the concept. And then, as it relates to anti-black racism or additional forms of environmental racism. I was just having a conversation with my kids about Standing Rock. And just so that evolution that I see, mm-hmm. That sense of a desire to be a teacher who creates incredible learning spaces where everybody feels like they truly do belong in that space or
right.
that learning experience belongs to them is the result that I'm pushing for. So yeah, that critical analysis of normality ends up being central.
Yeah, and what I find when working, because my area is mostly around religious difference,
yeah.
and dealing with people across and non-religious persons,
mm-hmm.
Normality is a habit,
mm-hmm.
and you're not aware of it,
right?
And it's also a bias, but mm-hmm. you never get rid of bias. You have your experiences, and they will shape you both
mm-hmm.
in negative and positive ways. And discovering that, so hard for my Cornell students
sure.
to realize that you'll never get over your bias.
Sure.
All you do is you just keep working it.
Right. And what's powerful is when you can name it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, when you can begin developing the skill and ability to bring the invisible to the visible.
And not be ashamed
That's right.
of it.
That's a part of the process.
Down.
Right.
Or
right.
shut down.
Because emotions.
Yeah.
We're afraid of emotions, afraid
yeah.
of, you know, when I first start, typically my sort of like race 101, the emotions are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm strategic in how I do this work mm-hmm. though, because I've been doing it for so many years that I know I'm developing more and more knowledge. I grew up in Ithaca, so you know, I've been around white folks my whole life, but I'm learning concrete elements of a culture of whiteness that is interesting to me. And what I've found is that with many of the students that I work with, starting with it, giving them an opportunity to reflect on their individuality
mm-hmm.
Becomes a central space to start, because that concept of collectivity or being a part mm-hmm. of a larger something is very foreign to a number of students. So I emphasize the beauty of developing an understanding of both our individual identities mm-hmm. and our collective identities. So individual identity, I'm Dr. Nia. I'm going to come in here. I'm probably going to like be smiling from ear to ear. And I might even do a cartwheel because I'm just silly like that. And I love this and that. And these are all these elements of who I am individually or personally. Collectively, is particularly on site, I am a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a critical element among a variety of social identities.
Right.
But on site, what stands out, what's known, what's noticed,
mm-hmm.
Is this intersection of my identity. I'm not just yellow, I'm not just blue, I'm green, and my
yeah.
experience is green, and green's my favorite color, by the way. But yeah, so just recognize, and so what does that mean? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to people and their responses to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of my writing is right. centered around that intersection.
And what I, because of my interest in how people, we think of the core or visceral emotions or the core as being associated with anger, rage, fear, panic, all these negative things. But the positive side of all of those is play, is seeking behavior and curiosity. And when you blow into the classroom with that kind of playfulness, you engage people in their positive core self before pushing buttons that could be interpreted as fear or panic.
And as a black woman, I mean, you know, so luckily that, you know, there are elements of that that are just natural part of my personality, because I mean, we go deep. Go very, very, very deep reflecting on some of this history and its relevance to the present. So not only is that embedded in my teaching, but my performing arts work. And so I choreographed a dance routine a couple years ago, when immediately after Sandra Bland was murdered, and I just was a mess after that. And I was working with a bunch of, you know, kids at CMEP and teenagers, and they were a mess. And we had some heart-to-heart, some pretty hardcore conversations about that video, that exchange. And I came up with a dance routine to Strange Fruit, a song that has its history, Billie Holiday, embedded in the anti-lynching movement. So the song that I use is, Kanye West did some work with it, but he's not on it. It's the instrumental, and what it does is it shows the movement is, one, it just kind of like saved me that summer, because that was rough. But it shows the history between the anti-lynching movement and the Black Lives Matter movement, the relationship between the two, the intersection of the two. So dance, so movement ends up being an important part of the healing process for me. And I thought of that when you were talking about some of the emotions or feelings of rage and anger and pain, and all of that is so real, or blame or guilt, in my case, engaging white students in powerful work and conversations about whiteness. And so I encourage, and encourage that, ending or escaping those emotions either, right? That emotions can be mobilizing, that emotions can be transformative, and that's central to a lot of my work with the Black women on campus and Black girls in the community too, giving them an opportunity to essentially feel, because in so many spaces in their lives and experiences, there are negative responses to their feelings, their natural human feelings, and so those spaces are critical.
And what you're up against is the idea that you could shut down.
Yeah.
But when you shut down, you freeze, or you eviscerate yourself.
Yeah.
But when you indulge, or you take it in ways that others can't help you, or you can't even get something productive from, then you haven't. But finding this middle space, and it takes other people to help you find it.
I am leading a conversation on Chapter 3 for the New Jim Crow, December 12th at 5:30. It's more of a performance lecture, I like to call it.
And it's a GIAC.
Yeah, well, it'll be at Beverly J. Martin, just because the numbers, people have been showing up. We've had such an incredible... it was originally a GIAC, but because of the numbers. So it'll be in the library then. And I can talk a little bit more about that later on. But central to that work... like I said, a performance lecture, which is a unique concept for folks. But central to that work will be self-reflection, because what's happening is a lot of people are reading the book or engaging in information that's extremely painful, and they want to fix it. And they want, you know, action. They want, which is, you know, beautiful that there's that desire. But I'm like, we only on Chapter 3, y'all, right? Like, there's feeling
that
truly.
Goes deep here that's that you have
right.
To sit with.
Yes, and there are elements of, and this is, you know, and the audience has primarily been white folks, and I'm hoping and encouraging many young people, actually, you know, middle-aged to elder white folks in the audience, and I'm really encouraging my students to come to the event, and a number of young people, and with a specific focus on many of the students of color, and then I see students of color who are performing with me. So I say all that to say, it's I'm pushing and encouraging self-reflection. reflection, mm-hmm. As well as looking at the concept of coping, right. healing, and transformation. Right. So some of the dynamics or circumstances in our lives that we cope with, and being able to name what that's like, what that means, true, authentic healing, and then transformation. So I'll talk a bit about Ida B. Wells, who was central to the anti-lynching movement. And she always just emphasized, she said, the way to right wrongs is to turn the light of truth upon them. Right. And so allowing ourselves to really deconstruct, analyze, and process the problem. In fact, we're not even all on the same page about what the problem is.
And there may be multiple problems.
Right. And there are, multiple layers, right? Yeah. So that's a part of a problem-solving model. And so an additional element that I'm presenting is really looking at the chapter is the color of justice. So I'm looking at the color of discipline, but also the color of sexism, looking at some elements of gendered racism and some of the criminalization of Black girls in schools. So it's multiple different directions that we can take.
Let's take a music break. And while you think about what I'm going to make a station ID, you're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, 88.1 in Ithaca, 91.9 in Watkins Glen. This is the Made of Clay Report. And Nia Michelle Nunn is our guest this hour.
Yes, thank you.
What should we play next?
Thinking about my last... let's play this piece. It's called Mad Black Woman, and it's written by one of my students. She's the artist on here, Ava Bryan. She's a junior at Ithaca College in the Park School, and she is dynamite. She's phenomenal. So let's play Mad Black Woman.
Here we go.
Glorified, ready to blast the Mordecai's here, mortified by suit and tie to justify a shooter's rights for pulling lives to crucify the darker fruit alive for users' vines, leaves, and shrines. Same poison tree roots, getting hard to reach you. Need someone to preach to, spitting lethal lava like that apple served in preschool. Even as a baby, stuck up in the institution. Passed on repeat, system needs some transfusions. Told the teacher I could teach her, and my mind is translucent. She said, what have you been reading? Have you studied about the nuisance? Think we about to lose it, yet only the strong go crazy. We go along on the daily. Clock keeps moving backwards to enslave me. I can hear it tick tick, spinning raptures for the blackbird. So shady, just cannot get out of it lately. Mad black woman on the run, steady trying to get a four tongue. Mad black woman on the run, steady trying to get a four tongue. So she running, 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 running around. So she running, 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 running around.
Rezu, I peep the lies that they whistle through their teeth. I be speaking, y'all ain't listening to me. Oh, you a scholar, you got a few degrees. But look at homie, you ain't free. Fuck a silver spoon in a chariot. Bitch, I'm on the ground like I'm Harriet. Got the whole world on my shoulder as I carry it. Yeah, they could kill us, but I sold, they can't bury it. So, how we went from being Brandon and Stamp to dying over they name brands? Damn. You can tell Jordan keep us fresh pair. All I ever needed was some fresh air. But my lungs stay clouded by these chemtrails. Every time I inhale, forever let them fail to lead me astray. I'm just leading the way.
Mad black woman on the run, steady trying to get a four tongue. Mad black woman on the run, steady trying to get a four tongue. So she running, 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 running around. So she running, 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 running around. Mad black woman on the run, steady trying to get a four tongue. Always trying to clone her, always trying to comb her. Perm bundles or they black power afro her. Know that she gon' do just what she wanna. This is not your candy shop, I ain't no Willy Wonka. They sip artificial juice like the chubby orange soda just to fill a quota. Patriarchy kills, got these niggas in a coma. Sexualizing rapping women, way they gazing like the MoMA. Fiend to ask about a sex like never question a diploma. I just wanna rock and roll. Was always told that Elvis stole our rocking souls while rocks were sold to break our bones. Yet some dreams get old, stuck under souls of those just blinded by their oppression, progressing by mass closed, I see a mad black woman on the run.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. This is the Made of Clay Report, and Nia Michelle Nunn is our guest on this hour.
Yes, thank you.
So, how does that, you know, what you've described the dance piece that you did in light of the death.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sandra, I'm Black.
Sandra Bland.
Bland, yes, I'm blocking her name. My sense is that there's nothing that you do that isn't somehow integrated with your interior life.
Absolutely.
So tell me what that is like for you as you prepare for this presentation and the other work that you do in the community. How do you hold on to, because there is a part which is personal and private even.
Yes.
And then there's a part which is personal, but it's not private because
right.
it's what animates you and others need to learn from it.
Sure, intersecting the, like that concept of your individual and collective identity to my inner, my outer being. And for me, it's just one, like I mentioned earlier, too, there's something I've danced all my life, too.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, dance itself personally serves as a form of healing, but particularly dancing with others and teaching dance. So that conversation is really really intense where, you know, with her murder, I, something hit me in a major way, particularly the dialogue between she and the officer. So, just that struggle. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of writing too. And so I just recently published a piece. It's called, Supergirl, Strength and Sadness in Black Girlhood. The connection is that reality of balancing both strength and sadness and also redefining strength, particularly for Black girls and for Black women, because historically there's just sort of this, you know, masculine, realm and I'm emphasizing the strength of the femininity embedded in Black girlhood and Black womanhood. So that's central for me to connect with me personally. I've spoken about, you know, some daily interactions and circumstances, experiences of gendered racism that I have come my way. But there are, I'm also not afraid to acknowledge the privileges that I've experienced or have exposure to that give me access and access and the ability to do this work and do this passion. So I can name that and I can be critical of it, but as part of it, I see my privileges. You know, there's a responsibility that comes with what I have access to. But life isn't perfect, right? I do a girl empowerment program with some young girls in the community, and I'm constantly teaching them and pumping them up about loving themselves and affirming themselves and doing all these exercises to remind them that they're beautiful. And I've been doing that for years. But I actually recently, the past about 3 years ago, freed myself, removed myself from an abusive relationship, one that I was in since I was 14 years old. I was young. I was a young teen, and so that's years of psychological abuse, being in somewhat of a pretty painful narcissistic partnership. And it took me time to really, truly free myself from that. Once I liberated myself, you know, physically and spiritually, emotionally, I was still having internal sort of issues relevant to it until I've discovered it very recently. And it really was about self-love. It took me some time to forgive myself for staying, for still trying
staying,
to make, for contributing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, that codependent dance that can be lethal. And so I have been primarily raising their whole lives, these three amazing boys of mine. I mentioned the 13, 10, and 7, Eamon, Rowan, and Lachlan. So Lachie is 7 years old today. And they're, you know, those are my little soldiers. They're pretty amazing. They're resilient. They've watched elements of my sort of evolution. Mm-hmm. And I've been more public with this sort of self-discovery and honest, more openly about the suffering that I experience very quietly because of pride. I'm Dr. Nia. I take care of people. I
I know how to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And my smile's always been very much real, authentic. But my strategy for many years was taking care of other people.
Right.
So it was constantly, you know, as long as there were, you know, it was a program I was running or, you know, something I was really doing for others, I was good. And until I think, you know, this past year, and I brought my vision board. So I went to a workshop with one of my best friends in the beginning of this year, and we created a vision board where you really, it requires a whole bunch of, you know, energy and self-reflection, but I feel like something's happened to me over the past year. Like I have fallen in love with myself in a way that I don't think it was ever there before. Mm-hmm. And it's just been, it's such a joy, and it seems like a strange thing to brag about, but I don't care. I, you know, it's transformative. I forgive myself for allowing myself to be mistreated, or I forgive myself for ever truly believing or letting myself believe that I was unworthy of, mm-hmm. you know, of love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of another element of me to share.
Right. And I guess what I think in many ways we kind of sail on the little boats that we've been given. And sometimes we constructed them ourselves at an age that we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, we don't know how to mm-hmm. weather waters that we didn't know that we were going to have to.
That's right.
And they get battered, and we batter ourselves yeah. and each other, and it becomes a really a messy thing. What we often don't do is talk about what it's like to come out of those times.
That's right.
And it's not. And what I hear in your voice is it's not a matter of pridefulness.
Right.
It's just a matter of, you know. Part of me is alive now that wasn't.
Oh yeah.
And there's things that I can do because that part of me is alive that I couldn't mm-hmm. do before.
Mm-hmm.
And I too have been through similar experience. And I think there are points in my life where I can see, having tasted it in bits and
yeah.
pieces. I imagine this won't be the last time for
right,
you.
Right.
But at least it won't be so scary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just, I've always felt like the work and service. Like work and service are intersecting for mm-hmm. me, right? Like the things I do are not necessarily for reward or acknowledgement, right? That I actually feel that, you know, I feel the benefit when I give. But just thinking about purpose, which is actually the meaning of my name. Nia means purpose. It's the fifth day of Kwanzaa. Uh-huh. And so I've always... felt very purposeful. Yeah. You know, purposeful, but it's awesome to just continue to grow with that, right?
Sure.
To I guess it's like, so I turned 35 this year, which mm-hmm. is, you know, a big deal for me, because 35 is the age that I used to make fun of all the time. Oh yeah, that was old. 35 was old. Uh-huh. You had certain sneakers if you wore a certain kind of jacket. We used to talk like that. Uh-huh. We used to be like, oh my gosh, I'm not wearing that. That makes me look 35. Like, that's how we used to talk. So 35 is this special number.
And now I turn it.
It is all me. And it's funny because even my kids, I'm looking for a house, and I'm just on this house brainstorming concept. So I watch HGTV every once in a while. My kids are like, oh, mama, you gosh, you were so 35. So anyway, it's great, the aging process too. I think that's also the element of falling in love. It's just with me, it's like being purposeful in my actions and in my being. And I just feel so much more authentic than I have felt for years. Like, that's not to say that I wasn't real and I wasn't giving my all in interacting with people, but there was something going on inside that was just that there was a light that wasn't necessarily shining. Right. And nobody would believe that just because I bring joy when I come spaces and I mean it. But there was something internal happening that's very different for me now.
Can I make an attempt to describe how the difference might be?
Sure.
When you're very much in charge.
Yeah.
When you're on, and you hold the stage and you hold the attention, but that's about control. That's not about responsiveness.
I know. I had to watch that too.
But that's where the light gets hidden. And when you are available to be engaged, then you will see in the person across the room, and you will have the contact that will say, I think, you know, this is what I see going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not ashamed of it, and they're suddenly able to talk about it, mm-hmm. or engage it in a way that allows the light to shine. And there's a standard Christian passage, you know, don't hide your light under a bushel because it's meant to be seen. Mm-hmm. But the point of a light being seen isn't to see the person. It's to see what the light lights up. Because if you actually look at the light, you don't see anything but get blinded.
Yeah.
But what you see is all of the other stuff
that happens because
that light got
that's
to
right,
shine.
Right.
And so
we
don't see each other unless we shine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's like my student, the young people I'm with, they say, it's lit. That's it. Everything's lit. Everything's lit. Dr. Nia, that's lit. I'm like, I'm trying to get hip to it. I'm like, yes, it is lit. So, no, it's right. It's real. It's very real.
What were you just about to get to?
So I did this vision board. I like cutting and pasting. So It seems extra. It seems like a lot. But it's this board that's just, you know, coming into my self-love, if you will, self-care. So there's just so many elements of me on here. So I have this black doll over here in the corner, which has always been really significant. I grew up with, you know, black Cabbage Patch dolls and, you know, reciting the Wiz over the Wizard of Oz, right? So that concept of positive self-imagery has always been central. Then there's just some phrases that emphasize my motherhood as it evolves, playing with my children, reading. I have one child that is in love with math, which is a huge deal because we did digested that we were all bad at math and he's like in love with it. So now we're trying to capitalize on that and recognizing the dangers of deciding that you're not good at something.
Right.
So letting go of that. Just some of the happiness that we try and create with one another, but also some of the realities of struggles. I recently fell in love with this KonMari method. Have you heard of it? Oh, it is this Japanese style of tidying up your spaces and letting go, discarding. So you have to read her book and then you literally follow her directions. And it's just all about getting rid of things that you don't need. I'm a closet piler, hoarder, I realize.
Yeah.
And it's like going through everything that you own and deciding. And the whole central element of the KonMari method, because I literally touched everything I own and everything, my boys, that we own. And if you don't feel joy, if there isn't this sense of joy, you let it go.
Right.
You get rid
of
it. Right. So and then just being cognizant of just stuff and spaces differently, it shifts my mothering. It has me less cluttered in my mind or frustrated. I get frustrated with my kids when I'm really frustrated with myself because of what I feel like I haven't taught them.
Well, and you also, what I'm hearing is that you're also trying to control the world in which they're in.
Right.
And then you lose sight of them.
Exactly. And so that has had to shift. yeah. And is shifting. Yeah. They, you know, they really, they're amazing human beings, and they're very different from one another. My Eamon, he's an eighth grader going into the high school, and Rowan's a fifth grader at Beverly J. Martin, so he's going into middle school, and then the youngest one is a first grader. So they keep me alive. They keep me thriving. They, like my parents did for me, they come everywhere. Uh-huh. You know, they're very present and active. And then sometimes we love those days where we just don't know what time it is, and right. we just let the day be unfold. What, yeah, you know, yeah. snow days and yeah. things like that yeah. are always a delicious treat for my family. So I did this little collage that emphasizes sort of, you know, balance. And the what do you see?
I just see lots of smiling and lots of joy. This is a turnaround moment.
This was huge.
Yeah, and this is not about, you know, integrating past stuff. This is about just striking out in a new way, and the past will catch up with you at some point.
Sure.
But in a good way.
But we recovery, need these free times. Right, yeah, right. We need free time. Just some of the there's still some reality of coping and sure. some reminders, you know, as it relates to letting go. You know,
and conversations and about nothing in particular.
That's right. That's about nothing.
Yes.
And next chapter concepts, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I love Ithaca for a variety of reasons. I am I'm on the tenure track journey. I actually have my fourth year review in January. And so I always tell people, because I have friends that grew up with me here, that they're like, oh my goodness, girl, God, Ithaca, why are you still there?
But you did, big city. At least 8 years.
I did. I've seen other places. But for me, my whole thing is, as long as I can see places, and especially if that fantastic Ithaca College pays for it, if I can travel the world and travel the country and see places, then I can be here for, you know, the long haul, as long as I can see the world. So that's where the suitcase is, right? You see mm-hmm. that? I see, Cuba to travel, nourishing those dreams. I have some, you know, house aspirations that are, you know, as obviously anyone who really knows Ithaca and housing is a bit of a workout, but I'm not giving up. So, you know, paste that on the collage too, that I want to be a homeowner one day. And then these are just some of the sort of speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. I love it. I tease some of the leaders of Ithaca that I'm everybody's backup keynote, which is fine. I'm like, whatever. But just a few different speaking engagements. This is me at the Black Lives Matter gathering. In I think it was October last year, I spoke at Kwanzaa mm-hmm. at Southside on the day of Nia. And then every year, CAMEP, our performing arts program, we do a huge concert for the community. So, you know, healthy food, exercising, taking care of our bodies. So some of the things, because control has been an issue in my life, I think about some of the things that I can control.
And that are yours really in to
my,
control.
Right, mine to control, but then also like just releasing and letting go, really breathing is a new concept for me.
And to make the transition that you've made and to make it with grace mm-hmm. Is to prepare the people around you.
Yeah.
Or to remain in relationship with them as you give them something different to react
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned about being in relationship with other people as you have tried to implement this change in your life?
Wow.
You know, what's been good, what's been hard, what have you learned that you didn't think you'd have to learn?
Well, I always thought that I was a great listener, and I still feel like I was a great listener, but that I could be an even better listener, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just thinking about, I don't know, I'm just starting to think about a couple, you know, characteristics that stand out for me. But I think what's unique is just that concept of self-reflecting
mm-hmm.
in relationship with others. That I have, I would say, beautiful relationships with my children, and then I would say with about 300 children in Ithaca, and families.
Mm-hmm.
I have a...
But that's also not a lot of time to just really listen in the way that you're talking about.
Yeah, and so just creating opportunities where like, again, thinking about my privileges and resources mm-hmm. and access, opportunities that I can create for or facilitate or support that create spaces for other voices or for additional voices. For example, yesterday we showed Queen of Katwe at Cinemopolis. We brought it back to Ithaca for a day. And afterwards, I had... we had Ithaca College students and middle school kids, including one of my sons, and actually my first grader was on there to serve on a panel to really process their response to the movie. So it just is an example of just utilizing my resources and access and privileges to create spaces for others to have a voice, and that those are important and central elements in my relationships with folks. But I would say informally, I think I've always been a good friend, and just working on maintaining really beautiful and healthy friendships is central.
So, and what do you do? What do you ask of yourself? And what do you ask of others? Because that's part of it. So that you can be emotionally renewed, intellectually renewed, physically renewed. How do you do this intentionally? What do you do to take care of yourself? And how do you ask others to be? Because when you've been in a negative relationship, learning how to ask...
Right.
And modeling that is hard.
It's not
making it happen for others, it's asking for it.
Sure.
For
and a part of that is having the courage to be honest in my processing, to be as explicit as possible when I find it necessary, but also not feeling bad about creating boundaries, if you will, healthy boundaries.
Yeah, I'm limited.
That's new. And being able to, and being honest about that, being, you know, and just, I mean, a part of this too is relationships with others, but it's still this ongoing, evolution of my relationship with myself. I joke with people sometimes about, like, you know, I say I'm dating and everybody gets all excited because, you know, people are nosy, they want to know your business, and I'm like, I'm dating myself. Yeah. And it's like the best relationship I've ever been in,
and I'm learning how to have boundaries with myself.
Exactly. So even in a relationship, that's why I tease, I'm like, you know, sometimes it gets a little rocky, but you know, teasing about that joy of just being able to honor relationships. Yeah. And just how, especially when you go such a significant period of time feeling so, you know, unloved.
And unworthy.
And unworthy. That was and abandoned, essentially, despite all the other good things in my life. That took a choke hold, and sometimes literally on me. And so this is new. It's just delicious. It's and I'm excited to be able to share it. So I don't know what our deal is in terms of time, but I have two more songs, or one more song. And one more song that's kind of linked to this. Well, I'll suggest that people listen to Leanne LaHavis' Unstoppable. But the song that I would love to play, it represents two of my most favorite women in the world. It's a tribute to Nina Simone, but performed by Miss Lauryn Hill, and it's called Feeling Good.
Nia, it has been a delight to get to know you.
Hey, you as well. Thank you for this space.
And we're going to close with...
Feeling good. Thank you.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. woo, and I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this whole world is a new world and a bold world. When you shine, you know how I feel. Saints of the pine.